this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families from all over to help me unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome with us today. We have Isabel from Montana. Isabel also lives in British Columbia, so I'm really excited to have her on today so she can kind of tell us about the differences that we have between the two places. Isabel, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to talk to you today about homeschooling.
Tell us about your experience so far, about your kids, and what got you into homeschooling.
Well, when I was living in British Columbia, that's when COVID hit. And that's when I decided to start homeschooling, because mainly I didn't like the COVID restart plan, which was 60 pages long. And I thought I didn't want to put my son through this. I thought, you know what, let's just travel a bit and try a different part of Canada and just have a new outlook on life and just spend time as a family. So we went to Vancouver Island and we did our first year of homeschooling there. And I'll have to say, if this is your first year, in hindsight, it was a big transition, more for me than my son. It was very interesting because we are so programmed to think, okay, your child's at school for 6 hours. What are they doing for 6 hours? So you try to, in the beginning, I was almost trying to emulate what they did in the classroom at home. And it caused me more stress than anything, because I always thought, am I doing enough? Oh, here's one more workbook, one more worksheet. And I realized soon enough that that was totally unnecessary. So I found throughout this whole homeschooling process, it was just really not only unprogramming my son, but really unprogramming myself. Mm-hmm. And I've learned time is your most precious commodity. So why would I want to send my son to a school system where I don't agree with their agenda? They're going to see his moments throughout the day. And I don't think they necessarily have their best interest. I mean, you're in a classroom with 30 kids, and they do teach at the lowest common denominator. So if your child excels in math, there's no opportunity. So I really love the flexibility, because honestly, it doesn't take much to get through the curriculum. And then there's time to explore different areas. So the first year we did follow a curriculum and workbooks, but as the years progressed, I started reflecting on what does he need to survive in this world? Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting, because some of the things that we learned in school, I don't think they're relevant anymore.
Yeah.
And for instance, like just recently, one of his workbooks talked a lot about rhombuses, parallelograms, all these really different shapes, which I always try to ask him, like, what career do you think this will be useful in? Why do we need to do this? And some of it, I think, like, really, do we really need to know all this stuff, depending on what career? Because you will end up forgetting it.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was just talking with another homeschool mom today, and she is from Poland. And she was talking about how she's teaching her kids cursive. And, you know, I said, yeah, they don't teach that in school anymore in a lot of places. I mean, I'm sure some schools do. And she said, yeah, well, it's interesting because all of the federal documents, you know, the Declaration of Independence, were all written in cursive. And I wouldn't even know that. I'd have to go, you know, double check that. But I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting that they're taking out something like cursive, where we're looking at, you know, our documentation for America that our forefathers wrote, and we're not even going to be able to read that if we take that part of the curriculum out. But yet we're leaving in other things that are irrelevant. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Well, you could say it's by design.
It's true, because I even heard stuff like cursive or knitting. It uses different sides of the brain, which I think is also quite useful, because I know, for instance, my son struggled with printing. So I did switch to cursive which is a much more natural way, because it's not to say it's like scribble, but it's more free form versus printing, you're stopping a lot.
Yeah.
So it really depends on your child.
It flows better.
Yeah, I believe Montessori school systems start off with cursive for that very reason. Yeah, it is interesting how they try to take some things out of the curriculum, which can be very useful.
So, yeah, what differences have you seen now that you've actually homeschooled in British Columbia and in Montana?
Well, I think it's more with me as a homeschooling
Okay.
parent, because in the beginning, I felt like I was basically taking that school curriculum and bringing it at home, thinking like, oh, okay, we're homeschooling. But I didn't initially understand that we can actually design it to our own taste and what we would like and what is useful moving forward. So, for
Right.
instance, I know in British Columbia, they start, or across Canada, they start teaching French in grade 5 through grade 12. And that was a good example. I thought, why not learn a language that's more well spoken, like Spanish, for instance? But I wanted my son to decide. I think that was my big learning experience. Like, let your child drive their education, because if he had no interest in French, he's not going to retain any of it.
Right.
So, what we decided, like last year, we did Spanish through Duolingo, just nothing super serious. And it went fine and stuff. I really believe you actually have to go to that country. But then this year he switched to ASL, American Sign Language. So it's
Oh,
okay.
neat.
Like, I just want him to have that passion. And I thought, that's a useful skill in the future, for instance. But if he's not interested, I'm not going to push it. It's like, I don't want those power struggles.
So, how much leeway do we have as homeschooling parents to actually drive the curriculum? For instance, are there certain things, because some states do have tests that you have to take even as a homeschooler, or things that you have to submit to prove that you are doing things with your kid? How open is it, like, that you, if say in science, oh, I want to do astronomy, the whole year, is can you just really get in depth and do just that? Or are there certain aspects of it that you have to hit as a homeschooler?
Well, for instance, in the state of Montana, you simply need to just write a letter to the superintendent saying you're homeschooling, and that's it. They're not going to check up on anything you do. So I know a lot of homeschooling parents here will, if they're worried about if their child's on the right level, they will subscribe to these end of the year testing just to see, oh, is my kid at grade 6 level? I don't really go down that route personally, because I can just tell, what we've done in that year. I don't need to have some kind of test to tell him that he's at grade 6 level. I think some people might want that confirmation, but I just trust in our learning process. I know that we're doing math, and he's reading, he's writing, like those basic skills. In case I do make sure we're on top of math, in case he does choose to do a career like that. But for instance, every year we pick one science, so I let him decide. So last year we did astronomy for the whole school year, and it's really fascinating because we did stumble across lots of theories. And you can research both and come up with your own conclusion, which I think has been lost in our school system and in our society, where people just get so fixated on one idea, but they don't do their research. Like, people just blindly take a story or a narrative and don't research both sides. So, for instance, when I went to university or in school, there was debate. There was the Socrates method of teaching, where you do look at both sides. So I think that's something that's gone sideways. I feel like the school system is just doing their agenda, and you have to answer to their agenda, which I've seen in the British Columbia school system, where I know some kids still go there. And For instance, last year they taught a lot about vaccines, and you had to say their story on it. You couldn't say the opposite when the kids did their trifles or their whatever assignment. So that's where I think the whole public, well, school system has failed, because now they've turned it into an agenda, which we might not necessarily agree with, but you should look at both sides of the story, and that's what's missing.
Yeah, I wonder how long that's gone back in the curriculum. I know a lot of it, was implemented when the Rockefellers kind of infiltrated the schools in the early 1900s by putting, their own people on the school board or saying, we'll donate to your university. Just let us put some people on the school board. And over time, that got to be more money and more people on the school boards. And it's interesting how it kind of unfolds, and I would be curious to, have had the experience of growing up in another country and seeing kind of how they learn. How did they learn history, and how did that come about? Or is this kind of across the board how it's always been done everywhere? I don't know if you have any experience with that because you have traveled and lived other places.
Yes, you know what's interesting? My brother, he did go to school in Germany, and interestingly enough, like they were very excellent. They were excellent teaching math and science. However, there wasn't much room for creativity. That's what his take was. It was very strict, and once again, I think they want to train you to be worker bees. I mean, for instance, he told me in high school they would have a process where they would do an oral quiz, and the teacher would ask you a question, you would have to stand up, and he said that the teacher would do whatever that was in their power to shame that child.
Oh,
And I
goodness.
think I know I that was maybe, I don't know, 20 years ago in Germany. I don't know if that's the same, but I do know Germany does not allow homeschooling at all. You have to send your
Really?
child to a government, yes, or a private school. You
Wow.
cannot homeschool whatsoever. And yeah, it's interesting. My brother is 10 years younger than me, so I remember how stressed he was going in that school system. But they do have very good math. Like it was really interesting to see how they approached math differently than in North America, like different ways of solving math than what they taught me in the American school system. But I don't think it was healthy as far as the stress level.
Yeah, that doesn't sound it.
And it's the same thing. Like my niece, she went to school in England, and I was just surprised. 5 years old, they're all wearing uniforms there, which can go either way. But in grade five, they were teaching them multiplication songs. And I thought, this is just crazy, because she was telling me the multiplication tables at five. And I thought it was just this stress on making sure the children perform.
Are you looking for a comprehensive homeschooling solution? It can be so confusing out there, especially when you're just getting started. My Homeschool Village has got you covered. They provide everything you need to homeschool successfully, including customizable lesson plans, interactive curriculum materials, and a community of experienced homeschoolers to help guide you along the way. Check out my episode with Becky, co-creator of My Homeschool Village. The episode is called Why It Takes a Village: Learn the Secrets to Homeschooling from a Mom Who Started 20 Years Ago. And that was aired on May 5th, 2023. With their easy-to-use platform, you'll have access to a wealth of resources and support to ensure your homeschooling journey is a success. Join My Homeschool Village today at myhomeschoolvillage.com and discover how easy and rewarding homeschooling can be. Use code HOW250 to get 50% off of your first year if you sign up now. That's HOW with the numbers 250. HOW250. And you can check that out with the link and the code right in my show's description.
And then in
Yeah.
England, it was very interesting. They have a huge, I don't know how to describe it, but the majority of kids do end up going to boarding schools. They're very common there. Not to say they're good or bad, but interestingly enough, when I worked in London and we had to hire new people, everyone was so concerned about where they went to boarding school. And I thought, why do we care? Let's see what they did. So
Meanwhile, you
it there
started
was a
out this
huge
conversation saying that, time is precious and, we want to be around our kid as the most that we can while they're still under our care, for these 18 short years of life. And here they are saying,
Yeah.
send them away.
Oh, I know. I know. But I did meet many English people who did go to these boarding schools, and they said they loved it. Like, it taught them independence, taught them real life skills at an early age. But I guess it depends once again on your child. But we're talking 20 or 30 years ago. Who knows what agenda they're teaching there right now? I think that's the whole reason why homeschooling is exploding, because I think it's twofold. People are not happy with what these schools are teaching. Secondly, I think we're realizing that it is an outdated model. Like, what do we want? Do we want to create our children to just be worker bees and not critical thinkers and not creative? And I think that's the main reason why. And there's so much socialization. I think people are learning that it is a wonderful model. You just need to really unprogram yourself. And that's what my main focus is, third year homeschooling. So now, for instance, I feel once again by design that they're not teaching us anything about financial intelligence in school. So when you start going down that rabbit hole, it's amazing. Like, even myself, I went to university, I studied economics and information systems management, and even then I didn't learn about the fractional banking system and how the Federal Reserve was created and how basically it was set up and stolen from us, where they just created the system where they're creating fiduciary issued paper. And yeah, charging us, for instance, you get a mortgage and that money is not even lent out and we're just paying interest on it. So the whole fractional reserve system is very interesting. So they used to say, like, if you had $100 in the bank, 10% would stay in your account. So the bank would keep $10 reserve in your account, and $90 of it they would just put on another loan or another
Oh, wow.
mortgage. So the whole
Yeah, oh,
scope
I'm
of
sure
that
that's true.
system. And when COVID started, now it's 0%. So they can take all your deposits and loan them out to somebody else. And that for me was something I wasn't even taught in university. So moving
No, me either.
forward, that's what I know. There's so much that's just, I think the only thing they really taught us is that we were on a gold standard, and then President Nixon took us off. That was about as far as it went. And yeah, so that's been one of my main focus with my son, is teaching him the real value of money. And
When you think about even buying a car, like you buy a car and the amount of tax that you pay on that, and you can't write that off or anything, and then you get the interest, and then if say you sell the car a year later, well, now you're paying tax on the new car. It's not like you get to deduct what tax you already paid, and now you've depreciated the car so much. And it's like, I don't think that is laid out in school to explain to students, just so they can start thinking about these, purchases and things like the stock market. I know I took an economics class, but I don't remember learning about the stock market and how the stocks work, how to read the Dow or whatever. I mean, I'm like saying words right now. They don't even make sense to me. And then you can dumb it down to even writing a check. I mean, it filling out an envelope. Like, I mean, I know they probably go over that in like third grade, but is that stuff that is continually like reviewed and put in context? And it's crazy how much real life stuff is not taught, but like silly things are. Now you work in that line of work, right?
yeah, so for instance, I work for 7K Metals. We can put my link down later in the description.
Absolutely.
But what I love about this company is it's about educating, firstly, on precious metals. And It's been amazing because I've showed my son a lot of the educational videos. So they talk a lot about inflation and how the buying power of the US dollar has diminished over the last 100 years by design because it's not backed by gold or silver. And
Right.
yeah, so it's incredible the education platform that it gives you, and it gives the opportunity for the average person to buy precious metals, silver, gold, bullion, or collectibles, where they're not boxed out of the market. You can trust them, and these coins are graded. I didn't even know about grading of coins, for example, where if you just go to your local dealer shop, which I have done in town just out of curiosity, they just show you a small range of coins and they're not even graded, which means they're not put in a seal case letting you know that this is a high rated coin, which is MS70, which is Mint State 70, which is the highest. And you need that coin to be certified to know, yes, this is 100% gold, it's 100% certified, there's no blemishes, etc. And even something as simple as that, I had no idea. I knew gold and silver were important. And in the past, I would go to my local shop, but I didn't realize I was limiting what I could buy. And I didn't even know if it was graded properly. It was just a coin and a little sleeve. So that's again one something about education. So once again, this is something that I use as part of our curriculum. And it's also my business now where I can simply refer people to silver and gold memberships where they can not only buy these coins and bullion at discounted prices, but they can also earn commissions through sharing it.
So I'm big on like putting things in context, right? Because we were talking about like that's why kids, it's hard for them to retain things because it's like you tell them something, but if without the context, it's hard to know why they're learning it. So tell me, what could I ever possibly do with this stuff? Like I've looked into, okay, if there's nothing on the shelves, like we saw a little bit during COVID, if I go to the grocery store, there's nothing on the shelves, and I need to go barter with somebody for food to put on my table for my family, what could I, like, how would this work into that? I know I could probably take like a pack of cigarettes to a farmer. I don't know what that would get me, like a cow's leg, I don't know. But how do precious metals help in these sort of situations? Why would anyone need them?
Well, the thing is, firstly, one thing I've learned through the 7K education is all fiat currencies fail. And fiat currency basically means it's a currency paper just simply printed out, backed by your government. So if you look in history, all these fiat currencies eventually fail. It's just a matter of time. And once again, before that, the US dollar was backed by gold, and so were these other currencies. So you can say, this dollar is, or this ounce of gold is worth this amount of dollar. It was just one, like backed by a real currency. So the problem with all this printing is the value of that dollar is depreciating. So
Sure.
going back to if there was an emergency crisis, bullion, which is not a collectible coin, is what you can use. You can use fractional amounts. So, for instance, when Venezuela had their currency crash in 2019 and people were standing up in line, people who actually had fractional or like silver coins or fractional anything were able to jump the queue and buy their groceries. They would take the
Oh,
silver
really?
medal right away. Yes.
Wow. So like what is bouillon? I mean, I'm literally thinking of like a bouillon cube for cooking. So enlighten me.
Well, bullion is how they refer it as your defensive strategy. It's basically just, oh, let me see if I have any here. It's basically just your, like this is a silver dollar coin.
Okay.
So
So
this
it
is
can be
what you mean
silver.
by bullion. Yes. And
So for people listening, bullion is just a type of silver.
yeah, it's basically minted by the US Mint or whatever your government organization is. So it's just the straight silver in your local, like this is $1,
Okay.
1 ounce of silver.
So basically it can be traded and it doesn't lose its value.
It says it's here, it's $1. But actually, if you went on the market, on the actual, let's say, COMEX metal market, it's about, I don't know, 20, 28, 3 or $25 an ounce, because they include the price of not just creating this, but they need to extract the silver, create it, send it to the mint. So there's all these other costs involved. But this is what you would use on a defensive strategy if there was an economic collapse.
For trading, for food and other goods. Okay. Last night, we were reading The Miraculous Pencil, the second book in the Tuttle Twins series for ages 5 through 11. My son, even though he's only 4, was able to pick up on the concept that every product we have has been created by so many moving parts. Even a pencil, like the Miraculous Pencil, takes thousands of people to make, from the wood on the tree, to the fuel that runs the equipment, to cut down the trees, to the ropes that secure the logs to the truck, the graphite from South Korea that's used for the lead, the yellow lacquer from the castor oil grown in India, and all the hands involved in between. The book focuses on the idea that with capitalism, we must keep the costs low and the quality good so that it sells and everyone can make money. Thinking about this greater concept of how things are made not only gives more appreciation to the items that we have, but it brings up conversation on what kinds of jobs are out there in the world and what new ones are waiting for our little learners to create. I love these books. We read them all the time. If you're interested in purchasing books from the Tuttle Twins, check out my link and use my code for 40% off products on ages 5 through 11. TuttleTwins.com/REF/CHERYL and use coupon code CHERYL40, that's CHERYL40, for 40% off all products for kids ages 5 through 11. You can grab the link and the code from my show's description.
And interestingly enough, I don't know if you heard about the 2013 banking crisis in Cyprus. I mean, it's amazing to think that this wasn't too
No.
long. Well, I guess almost years ago. But this is another aha moment that I've been learning about our whole financial system, which I can't believe no one ever taught us this. But for instance, in 2008, when we had the housing crisis in this country and the banks failed, the government came in and bailed out. After that whole crisis, they passed laws and legislations, not just here, but around the world, saying if that ever happens again, we're going to use a bail-in, which that means is if you have any deposits in your account or any other assets, the basically that will be used to make the bank solvent again. The government won't come in and
So instead of taking tax dollars, they'll just take our assets out of our bank account?
yes.
That's.
So, for instance, in 2013, when the Cyprus banks failed, people could not go in the bank and access their accounts. So, let's say you had any kind of cash balance, it was disappeared. They lost their money. It just went straight to cover all the bank debts and all the government debts that were created. And, it's sort of scary at this time because we know, for instance, not just the US government, but all governments are spending beyond, they're just basically expanding the printing press, creating so much paper money to cover all this government spending for COVID and whatnot. And even recently, the FDIC, it was another whistleblower kind of leak where they actually had a meeting and, how if you had $200,000 in the bank, they said the FDIC would insure each bank account up to $200,000. However, they found out that they have about I forgot, I wrote it down, 2 billion in assets, but there's about $9 trillion in debt. So they basically said, well, we don't want the public to lose faith in our banking system. We don't want this to come out. But what they're basically saying is they don't have the assets to cover any of these bank failures if it does come out. They're just going to come in and bail in. So another thing I like about the 7K company is they do have something called a sound money wallet where you can purchase the physical metal, and they have three vaults across the country with seven layers of security. And if you do want to convert whatever's in your sound money wallet into this physical like bullion, they will send it directly to you. So I like it because if the banks do fail, I can still trade and send physical silver and gold to any member of the digital sound money wallet. And at the end of this year, they are going to come out with a debit card so I can actually use it for my everyday expenses, but it's in gold and silver. I'm not actually doing trade in dollars.
Yeah, that's pretty cool because with the whole crypto, with all that stuff coming out, and I know nothing about, I don't know much about it, but I know that there's new ways that people are trying to, pay for things and make, exchange money. And so it is interesting to think about all, like you were talking about before, both sides, think of all the things and the logical things. Like I know for myself, I'm like, okay, what could we just have on hand real quick to trade for something? You could always trade cigarettes, alcohol, those sort of things. But yeah, definitely gold and silver. I think a lot of people know that like, okay, if you have gold and silver, it's a good thing, but you don't really know where to get it. How do you know it's good? It is what they say it is. And then what do you do with it in a crisis? So, this has been helpful because people can definitely look at your link and kind of explore, get to know a little bit more about it. And then can they come to you with questions, like email you if they have any?
Oh, yes.
So we'll put your email in the show description as well. Perfect. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch base on today? Because I know we're running up on 40 minutes and I want to make sure that we get everything in while we have you.
Well, once again, just to wrap it up, I think that is such a good way of summarizing it because once again, I feel like we've been brainwashed to not believe in real money, which is gold and silver. This is God's money. It's what all money has been based on. And crypto's great. I understand people have done well. I think the blockchain technology is great, but once again, it's not backed by anything. Once again, I would have to do more research on the crypto, but I do love the silver and gold. I feel that eventually we will be backed by the US dollar will be backed. And once again, something else I've just recently discovered is BRICS, which you probably wouldn't hear on mainstream news, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa have already backed their currency by gold and silver, or excuse me, gold. And the Chinese yuan has been digitally trading backed by gold. So I feel, Americans and other English-speaking countries or other Western countries are in the dark. And I think that's all by design. Like even now, the US dollar was the main trading currency for oil, and they're just sending those dollars back to the United States. They don't want to trade in it. They're trading in other currencies right now. And they say like one tenth of 1% of Americans are buying precious metals because once again, we're left in the dark. And recently, central banks have bought 200 tons of gold. They're not telling us that. All the wealthy people are doing that right now. So.
Yeah, and when I think about crypto, I almost have this feeling that like almost like Facebook or the Alexa, it has all these benefits and it sounds so wonderful off the bat. And sure, there are a lot of great things about it and it makes your life easier and does all these wonderful things, but it also has a lot of negative things. Like, it's always listening. And I always used to be like, well, what do I care if someone's listening to me? I don't have anything that important to say. And now that I have a podcast, I've been like, censored on things before. And and with Facebook, okay, well, they're looking at what you look at and they're marketing to you. I don't know how bad that is, but it's a little invasive and they know everything about you and can track wherever you go and that sort of thing. So crypto, it might be wonderful, but you want to be cautious too, because if it isn't backed by anything and it's all electronic, what's to stop them from saying, sorry, it's gone. How do you trace it? How do you know?
I know.
Up in Canada, how like Trudeau shut off everyone's bank accounts. I mean, that's how you can't do that if you got gold and silver buried in your backyard. Or like my father
Oh,
had
I
some,
know.
you know, coffee cans or something, like of cash. Like you can't turn off my bank account if it's in my house, So I do wonder about the future of crypto and blockchain stuff.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like crypto's very volatile right now. That's my main reason why I'm not in it. I mean, I'm open to learning about it, but that's the main thing. And then also recently, FTX, which went bankrupt, they found that all that crypto money was funneled back to the Democratic Party for their campaigning. So it's not regulated. Not that I'm a big believer in regulation, but it's crypto is unregulated. And I don't know if it's just laundered money being dumped into the crypto space. So that's something else. Unless somebody out in your audience wants to help educate me, I'm open and learning about crypto, but I have my hesitations with that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been so informative, and you really probably made people think, one about what we didn't learn in school and should have, and what we could be teaching our kids and teaching ourselves, and ways to just protect ourselves. So, if anyone would like to check out the link to 7K, your company, I will leave a link to that in the description and they can get a hold of you with any questions. So, thank you so much, Isabel, for being with us today.
No, and thank you. And once again, I just would like to reiterate that only through homeschooling that I've discovered when it came to teaching my son some financial intelligence, that education, that all this came out. So it was a blessing in disguise that even I am still learning and unprogramming myself from my own school education. Like, I can't believe I didn't learn any of this in a university degree. That's how shocking it is for myself.
Right. And I agree. The same for myself. The things that could be useful to us, investments, 401ks and that sort of retirement plans, that sort of thing. We didn't really touch on it in school, and it's so important. Thank you for shedding some light on that for us today. It gives us a lot to think about.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Homeschool How To. If you've enjoyed what you heard, please consider helping me out by sharing this podcast with friends, with your homeschool community, and even to your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. As a new podcast, we're really trying to get our episodes out there so that we can keep going. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show and tell us about your homeschooling experience, email me at thehomeschoolhowto@gmail.com or visit thehomeschoolhowto.com and send me a message through Facebook or Instagram. Thank you for your time and for your love of the next generation. We'll see you next week.